Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemnay Parish Church. If you're new or a visitor, we welcome you especially to this time of worship, and a special welcome to all of those who are watching live stream online or watching on our catch-up service during the week. And on that note, hi, Mom. She watches every week. It's lovely to be back in Scotland. I made the remark to both board and session this week that two things. This was the first holiday in my recollection where I felt ready to come back to work, though that's a good sign, a sign of a truly good holiday. And this is the first time where Heather and I both said we're looking forward to coming home to Scotland as well. So we're very glad for that. And that, of course, is due almost entirely to the continual warm reception and embrace we've received from all of you. So thank you very much for making us feel at home here. It's nice to have an American home, but it's just as nice to have a Scottish home as well. We have just a few intimations to share at the start of our time together. First, a reminder that Bible Discovery Group resumes on Thursday, the 14th of September at 7:30 p.m. at the Church Center, and all are welcome. David, is Monday's group resuming as well? So Monday's, is it starting the following Monday after that? It's already started. Thank you, David. So Monday Bible Discovery Group is continuing, and Thursday's Bible Discovery Group resumes 14th of September at 7:30 p.m., and all are welcome to both of those gatherings. A reminder for all interested men that the next meeting of our men's group will occur on the 19th of September at 7 p.m. in the Church Center. And we have the great privilege of having Mr. Adrian Armstrong from the Scottish Bible Society coming and speak to us. So please speak to Mr. Leslie Mackay for booking your place for what is sure to be an interesting evening of conversation, fellowship, and of course, delicious food as well. A reminder for those who are involved with Christian Aid that we'll have a meeting on the 26th of September, 7:30 p.m. in the Church Center. Please come along to help review our fundraising activities and the way forward for Christian Aid. And it's coming fast, but it's good to remind us of Harvest Thanksgiving, which we'll observe on Sunday, the 1st of October. Envelopes for donations to Tear Fund will be available beforehand. Please return those to the church by mid-October. Thank you very much. And a reminder about safeguarding as well. Safeguarding training, all our volunteers that help with children or vulnerable adults are requested by the Church of Scotland to attend a short training session. The next training date is Sunday the 5th of November at the Church Center from 2 until 4:30 p.m. Registration will be from 1:45 p.m. This is open for new volunteers, but also those that attended some time ago for a refresher course in safeguarding. This is a vital aspect of our work as a church. It helps protect us and protect those who we come into contact with. It is essential that we make sure that safeguarding is a real priority for us. Any questions, please contact Fiona Gray at the email listed or speak with Suzanne Bunton for more information. A reminder that this Tuesday at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, we'll have our next gathering of winnowers. This is an informal group that meets downstairs in the Church Center to discuss together the biblical text for the coming Sunday, a chance to be silent, to listen and talk together about what God may be saying to our family of faith through his word. These are all the intimations to share aloud. There are others in the print that I commend to you. And actually, I have one more in print. I apologize. We have the following permanent vacancies at Loaves and Fishes Cafe, and they are Tuesday lunchtime, Wednesday afternoon, Thursday and Friday lunchtime, and Friday afternoon. Times specified on this flyer. You can look at this in the vestry for more information. But we're looking for people to serve as Loaves and Fishes volunteers. Full training and apron provided, fun and friendship guaranteed. For more information, please do speak with Fiona Lister or pop into the cafe Tuesday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for more information. This will be in the vestry or speak with Fiona for more information. We are always looking for more volunteers to help run Loaves and Fishes, which is another vital and fairly unique outreach opportunity we have as a church to make connections with our community. It's well worth the time. And you may remember that our ministry intern, David Hendricks, who recently departed back to the United States, worked a weekly shift at Loaves and Fishes, and he called it one of the highlights of his week. So there you go. Are there any other intimations to share with the church family this morning? Anything else at all? Well, with those shared, let us enter into worship through song, with singing our first song of praise, King of Kings, Majesty. And during the singing of this song, your offering for God's continued work here in Kemnay and beyond will be uplifted.
Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. King of Kings, Majesty, we come before you at the start of our stewardship season with thanksgiving in our hearts for all you do for us daily. You have given us hands and feet to work, lips to sing your praise, and hearts to love. Each day you hear our prayer and grant us our daily bread. We have homes and clothes, friends and family. All around us, we can see the glories of your creation in the changing of the seasons, in the quiet solitude of the forest, or in the wild beauty of the sea. Your hand can be seen for those who choose to look. Thank you for those worshipping with us now in this church, sharing our service over the internet, or worshipping in other buildings. Help us to see the community you are building within your church, and help us to appreciate each member of that community, whether far or near. Here in Kemnay, we thank you for our minister Joshua and for Heather. Thank you for their safe return to us after their holiday, refreshed and renewed to resume your call here in this place. You are the source of all time. May we use it as a blessing and not see it as a curse. Help us to use our time well in your service. You are the source of all talents. May we use our talents well to glorify your name. Help us to use our talents well in your service. You are the source of our ability to earn money. May it never replace you in our hearts. Help us to spend our money and other resources wisely in your service. Please take the offerings of our time, our talents and money today and use them in the work of your church. We are sorry for the times when we have not appreciated your gifts to us, when we have truly wasted our time, using it in a destructive manner to hurt others, either in thoughtlessness or deed. We are sorry for the times when we have not recognized the value of the time we've been given and have allowed it to enslave us. We are sorry for the times when we have misused our talents. We are sorry for the times we have placed too much value on the importance of money, allowing it to control us, either by worrying too much about a lack of money or hoarding it and not sharing with those in need. Help us to have more faith in your provision for us. We bring our prayers before you in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Fiona. We continue to worship our God through song by singing together our next hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Stewardship season, and over the next three Sundays, we will explore the stewardship of time. Time is God's gift to us, and like all gifts, we are to use it wisely. Do you know, we should be the least stressed, the most chilled out people in all of history. Why is that? Think about all the devices that have been invented over the last 50 years, supposedly to make our life easier. But you know what? Aren't we all seeming to be busier than ever? Why are we not spending half the day sitting, soaking up the rays, drinking cocktails? Oh, wait a minute, we live in Scotland. How are we using this gift of time, especially our time with God? Well, what do we mean, time with God? Some of them are obvious. Praying, reading the Bible, either individually or with a Bible discovery group. Meeting together, either here in an evening praise with a Bible discovery group. But some are not so obvious. Encouraging others. Do you know, a friendly chat with an acquaintance or a stranger on the street. Serving and helping others. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew, when you did this for the least of men, you did this for me. I want to set you a challenge this week. I want you to take a piece of paper and mark on it every waking hour. Then put in all your appointments, your work hours, etc. Then mark the hours spent working for God, either in study, prayer, mission, or ministry. Put in the hours spent on the golf course or shopping, the hours spent in front of the TV or online. Color code each one of these so that you get a very visual display of all that you're doing with your time. And then once you've filled in every hours of the week, ask yourself one simple question. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, am I being a good steward of my time?
That'll preach. Thank you, Helen, for that convicting and truthful message. I'd like to invite our children to come forward now for a short children's time with me, and interested parents can come forward as well. And I have some jingle jangles. Hi, Annabelle. It's nice to see you. Come on down, Joshua. Hi, Lewis. Hey, Samuel. Hey, Daniel. Nice to see you all.
Yeah.
So I have some things here with me. You can hear them rattling around. I'm going to take these out of my bag. Let's see here. Which one first? Look at this one. What does this, has a word on it. What does that say? It says, yeah, you agree? What does it say?
Okay.
Yep. Samuel, what does that word say?
Me.
Me. That's right. It says me. What about this one, Annabelle? Very good. What do you think? What do you think that says? It's where we're at right now.
Church.
Very good, Lewis. Yes. You guys agree? Does it say church?
Yeah.
Yes, it does. What is this one? This one a bit longer. What does that say? Do you know?
Faithfulness.
Oh, yes. It says, do you know what that says, Samuel? Daniel?
Savings.
Very good. It says savings.
Savings.
Savings. Where do you save things at? Where do you go to save things? Starts with a B. Oh, you have to save people, that's right. I'm thinking of a different kind of savings. The kind of savings, they go to a, starts with a B and ends with ank. Yes? A bank. Have you ever seen a bank before? Yeah, we have lots and lots of banks. So I'm talking about where you save your money at. So when I was your age, my parents gave me an allowance. Do you know what allowance is? It's where your parents give you a little bit of money each week to teach you how to use it properly. And so every week we're going to pretend that these wine corks are an allowance. I like to assure the adults in the room, it took a long time to save this many wine corks. Okay? Don't get any wrong ideas. So let's pretend that this is money. This is my allowance, right? So when I was your age, I got my allowance every week and I was so excited to get it. And you know what I always wanted to do? Where I wanted to put it? If these three jars, I wanted to put it all in this one, right here, in me. Look how nice and full that is. All for me. Hooray! But look at this. All my money is in here. Is there any money in this jar? In the church jar?
No.
No, and that makes our treasurer very sad, right? Is there any money? Sorry, Ian. there any money in this jar? In savings? No, it's all in this one for me, isn't it? So I would get my allowance, and if I spent it all on me, I'd have nothing left to give to the church, nothing left for savings. Is that a good idea?
No.
No, it's not. Well done indeed, Lewis. So I got my allowance, and my parents taught me to take my money, if I can get all these out of here, there we go, and to put a couple in savings, a couple in church, and maybe a couple for myself as well. Does that look better to you? Each jar has a couple in it. You know, the next week, I would get my allowance again from my parents. Ooh, more money. Again, no judgments. And I would put two in savings, two more in the church, two more for me. And then the next week, oh good, I'm out. I would put more into savings and church and for me, mix them all around. And so by the end of a couple weeks, I would have plenty for myself, plenty for the church, it's nice and full, and plenty in savings. Does this look like a good balance to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all nice and full, aren't they? These are really cute jars, and Heather will be mad if I break them, so I got to be careful. So that, we're talking today, boys and girls. You heard Helen talk about a very special word, and this is a long word. A long word. You know what that says, Annabelle? Very good. Very good. It says stewardship. That's a long word, isn't it? Yes. The stewardship simply means caring for someone else's stuff. Caring for someone else's stuff. See, boys and girls, all the money and the things that we have, they don't really belong to us. Who do our things really belong to? Who really owns all of our stuff? Who do you think? Starts with a G, ends with an odd. God. Everything that we have, all of our money, all of our belongings, everything we have is given to us by God, and it belongs to God. And God wants us to be good stewards of the things that we have. So it's okay if we take a little bit of what we have and use it for ourselves. We have to be able to live. But God also wants us to give to his church so we can serve him and help other people. And God also wants us to be responsible with our money and save some of it for later when we need it. So boys and girls, stewardship is all about balance. Taking care of every aspect of our life, every part of our lives. If we're being good stewards, we can't spend all of our money just on ourselves. We can't put it all in savings because there's nothing to give then. We can't give it all to the church because we have to live our lives as well. But being a steward means caring for every part of our lives in balance. So let's pray together. Let's pray. Come on, buddy, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for everything that you give to us. Thank you for the opportunity to give to your church, to help other people, and to care for ourselves. Help each of us to be good stewards of the things you have given to us. Help us to remember that everything we have really belongs to you. And help us to use our things in a way that brings you glory. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen. You can go back and sit with your parents now. Good job, Lewis. Oh. Being a steward means using our things well. It means living for Jesus every day.
This morning's reading is taken from Psalms number 90, reading from verses 1 to 17, and you'll find it on page 599 in your pew Bible. 599. Psalm 90, verses 1 to 17. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80, if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due to you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
Thank you, Anne. Continue to worship our God in song by singing our next hymn, "All to Jesus I Surrender."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and sovereign Lord, we believe that you are the creator of all things, that everything rightfully belongs to you. Thank you for the great gift of Scripture in which we hear the good news of Jesus Christ, your Son, the true Word of God, through whom all things have come into being. As we enter into the autumnal season, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to your truth yet again. And may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. You are the hope, the strength, and the redemption of all who call on your name in faith. Amen. Well, it is that time of year again. Every year around this time, it happens just like clockwork. We see it coming a fair distance away, but we think it's never going to quite be here. We get so impatient waiting for it. It's a very special season of the year. It's a season that takes a lot of time, effort, devotion, patience. My friends, it is American football season. Our wait is finally over. It's kickoff day, forgive me. We are also in the midst of another season. And I suppose we can argue that it's even more important than American football. We are in the season when we give focused attention to the topic of stewardship. You've probably already picked up on the theme of that in today's service. Stewardship is a continual part of our lives as Christians, but this is the time in our worshiping life together when we give it intentional focus. We always need to be mindful of stewardship because it is an integral aspect of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Last year in our stewardship season, we defined stewardship in this way. It is an ethic that embodies the responsible planning and management of resources on behalf of another. And that's the key point of stewardship, management on behalf of another. Without that last little bit of the definition, stewardship sounds exactly like ownership. But according to the Bible, there is a world of difference between ownership and stewardship. And from start to finish, the Bible tells us that we are stewards, not owners, of everything that we have in our lives. From start to finish, stewardship is founded on a sense of accountability to another. For us as Christians, we are accountable to each other. We are all part of one body, the body of Christ. But ultimately, we are accountable to God for our lives, for our stewardship. Stewardship touches every aspect of our lives. And different expressions of Christ's church have different ways of talking about stewardship. In the Methodist church, they often divide it in this way. They talk about your prayers, your presence, your gifts, service, and witness. 5 points. Here in the Church of Scotland, we talk about our time, our talents, and our money. And both of those expressions of stewardship are perfectly fine. They both point to the holistic nature of Christian stewardship. Stewardship tells us that there is no part of our lives that we can look at God and say, "This is mine." All of life belongs to God. And this year, we have a special focus on one aspect of stewardship, the stewardship of time. In the book of Genesis, the very beginning, it tells us, what did God do at the beginning of Genesis? What were God's first words in Genesis? "Let there be light." That's correct. The very first thing God did was create the rhythm of the day. The first thing that God created was time itself. Time is one of God's creations. And at the start, I want to emphasize this, that I think time is the most precious currency that we have. We often hear the saying among some that time is money. We've all heard that, right? Some of us live by it. Some of us are pressured to live by it. But time is so much more than just money, isn't it? Time is the most precious currency that we have. The older I get, I must admit that it seems like that time, that most precious of currencies, goes by faster and faster. I think most people would agree that time does seem to speed up as we get older. When I was working in my study this week, I came across the following lines from a poem that said, "When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I waxed more bold, time strolled. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I daily grew, time flew." Time is a very strange thing. It seems like it can be long and short, even at the same time. I remember when I was in university, I remember sitting in particular classes. I won't name names of professors, but some classes seemed to drag on and on and on. Time almost looked like it was going backwards or slowed down on the clock sometimes. But it also, at the same time, felt like each school year flew by before I knew what was happening. It's that strange sensation of time going slowly and quickly. Perhaps we can relate to that. And the Bible does not shy away from the reality of how time passes for us. This morning we heard Psalm 90, which is ascribed to Moses, the man of God. And this psalm begins by doing what? What is the first thing that Psalm 90 does? Let's look at it. Says, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." So the first thing the psalm does is praise the eternity of God. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The psalm carries on by talking about humanity, and in comparison to God, humanity is, well, not eternal. This psalm compares humanity to grass. The writers of the Bible use this illustration on more than one occasion, both Old and New Testament. In verse 5, it says, "They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered." The Bible does not shy away from the reality that each of us has limited time while on earth. Verse 10, it says, "The years of our lives are 70, or if we have the strength, they are 80. And 80 was an extremely advanced age, especially in the ancient world. But even the longest human life is still like the grass, here today and gone tomorrow. Now, this might seem a bit depressing. I don't know of anyone who feels cheery when contemplating the truth that one day every single one of us here won't be here anymore. It's a sobering thought, to be sure. We do not know the day or the hour, but we do know that the day and the hour will come when this life will end. We depart to be with the Lord. So where's the comfort? Where's the good news in this? The good news, I think, is this. While life here might be temporary, while our time may be limited, our God is eternal. All of creation, all of time, everything around us, it comes from the gracious hand of the God, who is the God who loves us from everlasting to everlasting. God gives us the time we have so that we may glorify him by how we use it. God gives us the time we have that we might glorify him by how we use it. And I think that's the heart of the psalm that we have heard this morning. If we hear again verse 12 that says, "Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. What does this mean? I think it means several things. I think this verse tells us that we should never take the time that we have for granted. Nobody besides God knows what tomorrow is going to bring. So the time that we do have should be treated and received as a gift. I think it also means it's good for us to take stock of our lives, and as Helen said earlier, to reflect on how we tend to use our time. When it comes to the time that we have, what do we tend to prioritize? What are those things that receive most of our time? What are those things we prioritize, whether by length of time or by purposeful interaction? What does our usage of time tell us about ourselves? What does the usage of our time tell others about us? Does how we use our time communicate what we want others to know about us? Are we using our time in ways that help or hinder our growth as disciples? I think all of that is tied up in this verse to teach us to number our days, to gain a heart of wisdom. But I also think there are things that this verse is not saying to us as well. I think this verse is not saying that we must be hyper-legalistic about how we use our time. It is not saying that God is waiting in the wings to scold us for how we do or do not use every second of every day of every month of every year. It is not saying that God is some sort of celestial bean counter who is keeping a ledger and waiting to quiz us about what we did or did not do on the afternoon of 10th September 2017 before we are allowed to be in God's presence. Numbering our days means taking stock of our time, to be certain. It means using our time well. And using our time well means living in a way that reflects God's design for our lives. Using our time well does mean working hard. Using our time well does mean making time for family. Using our time well does mean making time for Sabbath rest. Using our time well does also mean making time for play as well. We believe that Jesus is God's Son. He is our Lord. He is the pattern and example after which we are called to live our own lives. We are called to follow His ways, His teachings. And we do know from the Bible how Jesus used much of His time. But even Jesus did not work every hour of every day. If anyone ever had the right to do so, if anyone had the right never to take a rest because his work was too important, it was Jesus. But he didn't do that, did he? Jesus took time, we know, for rest. He took time to consider the lilies of the field. He took time to marvel in his Father's creation. He took time for Sabbath rest. He even took time to doodle in the ground. He took time to learn. I would like to think he even took time to play as well. Jesus led the balanced life. He used his time well. And God has designed each of us to lead balanced lives too. God wants us to be holistically healthy, and much of that comes down to how we use our time and how much we are willing to follow Jesus' example. As we heard earlier, time is the most precious commodity that we have. We must seek to balance our time in ways that bring glory to God, because that is what life is really all about. One of my favorite figures from Christian history is St. Augustine of Hippo, who is one of our church fathers, an early Catholic bishop who wrote extensively on the Christian life. And one of the teachings that made Augustine famous was a concept that's called ordered love, properly ordered love. And give you an example. You have three things, right? We'll use me as an example. We'll have my car, Benny, and Heather, right? Now, if I love my car more than I love Benny, does that seem right? No. if I love my car more than I love Heather, does that seem right? No. If I love Benny more than I love Heather, is that right? If I love Heather more than I love God, is that right? Can't hear you. No. So Augustine's idea is that love is only love when it's properly ordered. That it's okay to love your car, but you must love your dog more, or your cat, if you're a cat person. Your spouse, family, and God. You have to have your loves properly ordered. Otherwise, your whole life is out of sync with others, out of sync with God. I think that this teaching extends to time. Augustine talked about ordered love. But we can talk about properly ordered time as well. When our time is properly ordered, our lives are more in sync with God's designs. When our time is disordered, that is when we're at war with ourselves, war with the world, and at war with God. When our time is ordered, when it reflects Christ, God uses our lives to draw others to Him in faith. When our time is disordered, our lives are disordered, and Christ is obscured. My friends, some of us may be sitting here today squirming in our seats from an internal sense of embarrassment about how we have or have not used our time in the past. Maybe, some of us are still afraid that God is out there somewhere counting our beans, weighing us in the scales, finding us lacking. If that sounds like you, and I won't ask you to raise your hand if it does, I have something to say. First, the Bible tells us that God is our Father, not our bean counter. And second, no matter how we have used our time before, each day presents us with a new choice. Each day that God gives to us can be a fresh start. Each day is a new opportunity for us to bear witness to God in how we use each aspect of our time, our work, our rest, and yes, our play. Each day, each new set of 24 hours is a new opportunity to live our lives and to use our time in ways that tell others about what is truly most important. And right now, we can begin again. Right now, we can continue to use our time well. Right now, we can see the time that we have as a gift. Right now, my friends, right now, we can begin to number our days, to take stock of our time, and gain God's heart of wisdom. May it be so. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the great gift of time. Thank you for time to work, time to rest, time to be with others, time to serve others, time to play. Thank you for the rhythm that you give to us in each day, of each week, of each year. Lord, help us to take stock of our time. Help each of us to use our time well. Help us to order our time well. Help us to use our time in ways that seek to bring glory to your precious name. We are but stewards of all that you have given us. Help us to live as such. Amen. As we said, stewardship is holistic. It touches every aspect of our lives. And so we sing in that spirit, "Take my life and let it be." Let us now turn our hearts and our minds to prayers for the wider world. Let us pray. Lord, you have called us to be stewards of our time. And so we take time now to pray to you for the sake of others. Lord, this day we pray for those who have been impacted by the recent natural disasters afflicting our world. We pray for all those in Houston, Texas, and around the area who were impacted by the recent flooding and the remaining damage. We pray for all those who have been, are in, or will be in the path of Hurricane Irma. Lord, grant those in the path of the hurricane safety. Help them to get out of harm's way. This day we pray for those impacted by the recent flooding in India, Nepal, Bangladesh, and Pakistan. Lord, do not let us ever turn a blind eye to the sufferings of others when they happen to be further away. Help us to remember that what happens to one impacts the whole. We pray as well for the people of Mexico and Guatemala as they begin to pick up the pieces and recover from the effects of a recent earthquake. We pray as well for those who are suffering from disease and famine, especially in East Africa. Again, Lord, help us to be mindful that our neighbors are those who are far and near to us. We must make their concerns and their causes our own. Lord, the needs of this world are so very great. May you send your Spirit anew upon your church. May you send it anew upon all of your people. Give us the courage we need to embrace those who are suffering, to share their burdens, so that your love may be clearly seen in our world today. We do pray for your church here in Scotland and in every other part of this world. May you pour your Spirit out on us anew. Lord Jesus, may you be the shining example after which each of us pattern our own lives. May you give us your heart of compassion, of mercy for those who are in need. And may our fidelity belong to you, Jesus, and to you alone. This day we pray as well for our families, whether they be near to us or far away. Lord, we pray that you will keep them in your love today and every day. We pray for those who have recently suffered bereavement, who have received a diagnosis of illness. Lord, may your consolation and may the peace that surpasses understanding may guard their hearts and their minds in you. We pray as well for those who we call enemies or who call us theirs. Lord, may your reconciling power break down all walls of division, all walls of enmity, all walls of hostility. May you be all in all. Lastly, we pray for ourselves. Lord, we ask that you would strengthen our faith. We ask that you would help us see ourselves as stewards of those things you have poured into our lives. We ask that you help each of us follow Jesus more clearly day by day. We ask that you use all things that come to pass to conform us ever more closely to the likeness of Jesus. Father, Thank you for the great privilege of coming before you in prayer. We commit all of our prayers, those that have been spoken, those unspoken in our hearts, we commit them all to you. Amen. We are stewards of our time. We are stewards of our talents. We are stewards of our money. We can live as stewards because of how faithful God is to us. And so we sing in that spirit our closing hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. That God gives to us is a gift. May each of us number our days and gain a heart of wisdom. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon each of us and upon all who we love this day and forevermore.